I will talk about the Venerable Rahula, who was the son of the Buddha. And also, during the course of this retreat, the suttas given to him or taught to him by the Buddha. You know, Buddha went to his native city 1 year after his enlightenment. Now, before that, his father wanted to see him, and so he sent 1,000 people to go to the Buddha and bring him back. But when they went there and they listened to the Dhamma and they became arahant, they did not even send word to Suddhodana. So this happened 9 times. So on the 10th time, he called Kaludayi. Kaludayi was born on the same day as the Buddha, and his playfellow, and also he knows the king very intimately and so on. And so when he was called by the king and asked to bring the Buddha back, he said, if I get the permission to be ordained, then I will go. Then the king said, whether you ordain or not, please bring my son back, because I am old, and so I may not see him again. So he went to the Buddha, and he also became an arahant with the 1,000 people. And after he became an arahant, on the full moon day of March, he praised the going on a journey for the Buddhas. He praised it by 64 stanzas, and each stanza contains the refrain that it is a time for the Buddhas to go on a journey, it is a time for the Buddha to go on a journey. So when he praised the journey like that, the Buddha asked, why do you do that? Then he said, your father wanted to see you. And so Buddha said, let us go, and so let the Sangha know that I am going on a journey tomorrow. So today they may do the duties of the visiting monks. At that time, Buddha was residing at Veluvana in Rajagaha, and his native city was Kapilavatthu. And Kapilavatthu and Rajagaha were 60 leagues apart. And Buddha traveled only one league a day, so that in 2 months' time, he reached Kapilavatthu. On the way, Kaludayi flew through the air and to Suddhodana and take his food there. And then he filled the bowl with food offered by the king, and then took it to the Buddha and offered it to the Buddha. This he did every day. And also he reported that Buddha had reached such and such a place today, and so on. And so at the end of 60 days, Buddha reached his native city, Kapilavatthu. It was the first time that Buddha visited Kapilavatthu after his enlightenment. And so there was no dwelling place for him. The Sakyans approached one Sakyan named Nirodha, and his place was suitable for Buddha and the multitude of monks to stay. And so they prepare that Nikrodharama for Buddha and his disciples. Now, his disciples are 20,000 in number. So, and so he prepared for the Buddha, and then when the Buddha came, the elder Sakyas said, you are young, said to the younger ones, say, you are young, and so you go forward. And after you, we will accept the Buddha. That is because they think that something that Buddha was younger than them. Buddha was my nephew's age or my brother's age, and so on. And so they don't want to worship the Buddha. So they let the younger ones in front worship, and they stayed behind. Now, when Buddha knew this, he showed a miracle. So he went up to the sky, and then performed the twin miracle, and the same miracle he performed later on the eve of the seventh Vasa. After the twin miracle, the father of the Buddha bowed down for the third time. Now, the first time was when on the Bodhisattva's birthday, when Bodhisattva was born, and Kala Devala came to see the baby, and when baby was made to pay respects to the to the sage, he did not pay respects, but instead his feet planted in the locks of hair of the sage. So that is the first time that the father bowed down before his son. The second time was at the ploughing festival. So when he was performing the ploughing festival, he left his son, a baby, he left his son under a rose apple tree. And at that time, the Bodhisattva sit up and practiced meditation. And at that time, the shadow of the tree does not move. So when he saw this, he bowed down before his own son for the second time. And this is the third time that he bowed down before him. So when the father himself bowed down before him, all the Sakyans also bow down before him. After that, Buddha the jewel walk was made by the Buddha in the air, and he walked on it. And at that time, the Sariputta with his 500 followers came. So Sariputta was not with him when he came to Kapilavatthu. So Sariputta came and requested the Buddha to relate the Buddha Vansa, the chronicle of the Buddhas. So he preached the Buddha Vansa there, and after preaching the Buddha Vansa, and there was a rain called Pokhara Vatsa, lotus rain. Lotus rain means not a lotus falling down, but the rain that that fall on the lotus on the lotuses. And that lotus rain is something like a red color, and it is said that those who want to get wet got wet, but those who don't want to get wet does not get wet. So that kind of rain fell at that time, and so everybody said, yeah, it is a miracle, it is a miracle. And at that assembly, Buddha related the Visantara Jataka. Visantara Jataka is the last of the Jatakas, and number 547. After preaching the Visantara Jataka, Buddha went to the Nigrodharma with the monks. Now at that time, nobody, even his own father, asked the Buddha and his disciples to receive food. So next day, Buddha entered Kapilavatthu for alms. So when Buddha came into Kapilavatthu for alms, Yasodhara, Buddha's wife, saw him. And when he saw him, she pointed to the Buddha and told Rahula that it was his father. And so she praised the Buddha from the head to the toe, and saying, "This is your father, this is your father." And then He went to Suddhodana and reported to him that Buddha was begging around. So when Suddhodana heard this, he went to the Buddha and said, "Buddha, why do you do this, begging in the city?" Then Buddha said, "This is the practice of our lineage." Then the Suddhodana said, "Our lineage is Khatiya lineage, and no Khatiya ever begs for food in the houses, and so you do not do that." Then Buddha said, "This is your lineage, but I am now become the Buddha, and so I have to follow the lineage of the former Buddhas, and all Buddhas went out for alms this way, so I went out for alms." Then he invited the Buddha for meal, and at that time Buddha preached to him, to Suddhodana, a stanza, and he became Sotapanna. After reaching the Sotapanna, they went to the palace, and after reaching the palace, he preached to him again another stanza. And at that time, the Suddhodana and also Gautami became Sotapannas. So after that, Buddha took his meal. At the second preaching, the king became the Sakadagami, and Gautami became Sotapanna. And then Buddha took his meal. And after the meal, all the retinue of the king were present except Yasodhara. Yasodhara did not want to see the Buddha. She said, "If I have any virtue in me, then my Lord would come to see me." So Buddha went to see Yasodhara in his in the chamber of Yasodhara, and he took only two chief disciples with him, and then he said, "You are not to say anything to her, and let her worship me as much as she likes." So when they went, and Yasodhara saw the Buddha, he took hold of the feet of the Buddha and wept. And at that time, the King Suddhodana also told Buddha that the Yasodhara became like you. She heard that you do not eat in the afternoon, she also did not eat in the afternoon. When she heard that Bodhisattva does not use flowers, unguents, and so on, then he also does not use, and so on. And so, and on that account, a Jataka was told by the Buddha, and then the name of the Jataka was Chandakenari, and Jataka number 485. On the third day was his brother, half brother Nanda's consecration, housewarming, and marriage. So on that day he was invited, and so he went. And when He went there and ate his food. He gave Nanda his bowl. So Nanda accepted his bowl, and after that he got up, the Buddha got up and left. So when the Buddha got up and left, Nanda also got up and followed the Buddha. He dared not say, please take your bowl back. And when Nanda was following the Buddha, the bride Janabada Kalyani opened the window and then said to him, come back quick, my lord. So Nanda was ordained against his wish. But later, Nanda practiced meditation and gained enlightenment. On the seventh day, again Buddha went to take alms at his father's house. And at that time, Yasodhara urged Rahula to ask for inheritance. She said, this was your father, and there were golden pots which were lost when he went to the forest, and so asked for them, for a son is entitled to the father's inheritance. So the boy approached the Buddha, and then the first thing he said was, "Oh great recluse, your shadow is pleasant." And then after that, he asked inheritance. So give me my inheritance. And Buddha did not say anything to him, but get up and left. So when he left, Rahula followed him, asking inheritance. And when they reached the monastery, Buddha said to Sariputta, "Sariputta, he is asking the inheritance, and the worldly inheritance is bound up with suffering, and so I will give him the seven treasures of inheritance which I got at the Bodhi tree." The seven treasures mean seven good qualities. So I will give him these seven qualities. And so he asked Sariputta to ordain Rahula. Now it is said in the books that Sariputta acted as Upajaya, and Moggallana acted as Saranagamana teacher. That means the teacher who gave the three refuges. And then Mahakasapa was Ovadacharya. When Rahula was ordained, Suddhodana was very, very grieved, because there were three persons, Buddha, Nanda and Rahula. All three were said to become universal monarchs if they live in the wild. So the So the father said, I have great hopes in you. And then when you renounce the world, that hope is shattered. Then I place the hope in Nanda. And Nanda is also ordained against his wish. And so now I put my hope on the Rahula. Now the Rahula is also ordained. It is like the love of a nephew, I mean love of a niece bites the muscles and to the bones. So I would like to ask a boon from you. Then the Buddha said, Buddhas are beyond giving boons. Then he said, no, it is a boon that is suitable and that is allowable. Then he said, that boon is not to ordain anyone without parents' consent. So from that day on, Buddha laid down the rule that not to ordain anyone without parents' consent. So first, that is why nowadays, when a person comes for ordination as a novice and as a monk, we ask whether he has parents' consent. Then one day, when the Buddha met his father said, when you are in the forest, a deity came to me and told me you were dead. And I asked him whether you become Buddha and then died or not. And he said, no. Then I said, I don't believe you. So when his father said this, Buddha said, it is not wonderful in this life, you don't believe him. In the past also, even though the bones were shown to you, you don't believe the death of me. And so saying, he preached the Dhamma Pala Jataka, Jataka number 447. And at the end of the Dhamma Pala Jataka, Suddhodana became an Anagami. And the fifth year after his enlightenment, when Buddha was residing in Vaishali, Suddhodana attained arahantship and died on the royal couch. And these, you can read in this book, the story of the Buddha. Now this book is pure Theravada book, and it is translation of the introduction to Jataka. So it contains the stories of the former Buddhas and also the Gautama Buddha until the until the Jetavana was accepted by the Buddha. After the ordination of Rahula, Buddha did not leave Rahula alone. He always protect him and always give admonition to him. And so there are suttas delivered to Rahula. And once Rahula said, as a hen guards the egg, or a yak his tail, the wise and virtuous Buddha protected me. So Buddha was always concerned about the Rahula, and he always gave advice.
Và sau khi mà
And Rahula was always ready to accept admonition. One time, monks were sleeping together with lay people, and their behavior was not good, and so there was a censure against that. And according to that censure, Buddha inquired about that thing. And then Buddha laid down the rule that a monk must not sleep with an ordained person. So after that, the monks said to Rahula, Rahula, now there is a precept which forbids non-ordained monks to be with them when they sleep. So please know your place. And so the Rahula cannot get any place to sleep, and so he went to the latrine of the Buddha and slept there. So when during at night, Buddha went there, and Buddha gave noise. He also gave noise from the latrine. And why is he here? Then he said, I have no other place to go. So on that occasion, Buddha made the rule that a non-ordained person should sleep with monks two or three nights. So only when two or three nights are over, that he must not do that. So this is one thing that he one thing in the Vinaya. Rahula's readiness to accept admonition is told in the commentary in this way. Some monks saw Rahula come from a distance. So when they saw Rahula like that, they drop the broom and waste basket here and there. And then Rahula came near, one would ask, who throws this broom and basket? Then the other would say, Rahula come this way, perhaps he might have thrown it. So when it was said like this, Rahula did not say, I did not do it or whatever, but just put the broom and basket in its place and then make obeisance to the monks and went away. And also, there is another story. That is, in the morning, Rahula would pick up with his hand a sand and then say, if I would get this many admonitions from Buddha and his disciples, it would be good. So, in this way, he shows his readiness to accept admonition. And it is said in the books that for 12 years he did not lie down on bed. And Rahula died before Sariputta, Moggallana, and Buddha. We don't know exactly when he died, but he died before Sariputta died, Moggallana died, and Buddha died. Now, Sariputta and Moggallana died before the Buddha, and Rahula before all three. And he died in Dhavadesa, not in the human world. And it is said that Asoka built a stupa in honor of Rahula to be specially worshipped by Samaniras, novices. Rahula was the foremost among those who are ready to accept admonition. Place foremost among those who are ready to accept admonition.
Và
The discourses given to him are Samanira, Panya, and so on. And so, number one is Samanira, Panya. Samanira Panya means Samanira questions. That means the questions put to the Samaniras. And these questions are put to other Samaniras also and to Rahula. Then those questions consist of what is one, what are two, what are three, what are four, and so on until what are 10, and the answers. So that we will study tomorrow.
Và sa du sa du sa du